from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about this?
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach and Josh. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at NorthtownAuto.com.
Good morning. Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at NorthtownAuto.com. We've got a beautiful day outside here in our Amherst studios, much better than yesterday, which was a lot of rain. Just so much rain.
Yeah.
It was so dark in the studio yesterday.
Kind of out of nowhere, too.
And then it got sunny.
Right.
And then it kind of looked like it was going to rain again. It was too much. It was too much for me.
It ruined my afternoon. I was going to go on a nice little hike and just was like, I don't want to get wet.
I'm good.
And then I was like, oh, cool, it didn't rain. And then it did.
Although now, like, isn't it like we got like 15 days in a row with no rain expected or something like that? It's something absurd.
It's nice.
Now.
Like summer's going out with a bang, and I love it.
Yep, we're going to be in like the 80s this week.
Mm-hmm.
Looking good. On that, though, the Bills. We haven't really gotten to talk about like week one. We were not in yesterday.
Yeah.
So
first reactions. How do you feel?
It's the thing. I want to go through this real quick because we are on a short week. It'd be one thing if the Bills were then playing on Sunday. It's like, all right, we can let this marinate a little bit more.
Right.
They're playing on Thursday. We already had the first injury report and outs for Thursday night. But real quick, I think for those that saw my Twitter, I'm not as aggressive as Nate, but mine was the first half, oh God, what's happening? This looks terrible.
Right.
And to the second half, I mean, before that kick return touchdown, the Bills were well on their way. I mean, they were up 11 at that point.
That flipped hard. That kick return touchdown scared the living daylights out of me.
Yeah, everyone here in the studio who was working the game was kind of like, it was sort of like a relaxed mood of like, we're whooping them. Like, this is great.
Yeah.
You know,
full control.
First half of the first game, who cares? We'll let it ride. You know, it's fine. And it happened. It was like, oh, man.
There it goes.
Like, we
there
still got to play. No, great.
It was funny because in the first half, my dad and I were just like watching the TV, just going, this is not good. What's happening? Bad. And then the second half comes up. We're like, great, great. Yeah, this is cool. And then the kicker turn happens. We're like, wait a minute.
Still got a game. And then, of course, I mean, the last drive, I know pretty much everyone on the station has talked about the field goal of death. We were talking about it right here before we came in, just to kind of get it out of the way. For me, I was happy in the post game when McDermott was very honest about what the situations were going to be for them to go for it. If it was fourth and two or shorter, they would have went for it. Fourth and three, it was, and as he put it, it was a long fourth and three. They were going to kick the field goal. I'd much rather the coach sticks to his guns. I don't care if I don't disagree with or if I agree with it or not. I'd much rather them not scramble and last minute change, and then everyone's kind of running out of the field when maybe they weren't planning on it, and then it gets all, you know, thrown to hell and it's a miss, and then we're complaining about that rather than the quote unquote field goal of death, which you're up six, shut it down. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know, don't give up a touchdown. You've been pretty good about that in the second half. Don't let it up.
Yeah,
you know. That's where I was at. They almost covered. They were 6.5-point favorites, and they won by six.
Yeah.
That was one of the biggest lines of the weekend. I think the only bigger line being Cincinnati versus New England.
Which did not go well. Plan.
So ultimately, look, NFL games are close. You very rarely get a score like New Orleans and Carolina, where I think it was 47-10. I mean, that was a complete blowout in every stretch of the imagination. Close game, but ultimately you turned it on in the second half. The defense looked much better in the second half. You got a great defensive individual performance by guys like Greg Rousseau, who had three sacks. Unbelievable. And then on the offense, 10 guys caught the ball. And I just saw today, I think Anthony over cover one was doing the all 22. Josh, there's a play where ultimately Ray Davis gets a dump off pass, takes it for like 7-8 yards.
Mm.
But the main character of the video is Dalton Kincaid.
Oh, yeah, and there's like five guys on him.
Yeah, who runs around the middle of the field, and four defenders just swarm to him.
Yep.
And Allen just, you see it. He sees Kincaid get swarmed. He goes, all right, cool, and just dumps it off to Ray Davis.
Honestly, and I don't think even Allen in the past few years would have tried that pass, but good on Josh Allen for looking at the check down.
Yeah, and
taking the easy underneath pass. And I'm sure in the moment it was probably like, man, I really wanted Dalton Kincaid there. And then it's that thing we've talked about for the past 2 years now or so, or maybe more, but
just
closely
take
in
the
two
easy
years.
Throws.
Take the easy throw, make the easy play. Again, going back to the Kansas City game last year, the pass where he goes to throw to Shakir in the end zone and has Diggs wide open underneath.
Mm-hmm.
I still think he makes that throw to Shakir regardless. But I wonder if by the end of this year we start seeing him do these checkdowns more, would he have taken that pass to Diggs?
Because
if you're thinking about it,
it's a different mindset now, but also in
the scenario there, you're in a different game, you're in the playoffs, you're late, you're trying to get points on the board. I feel like most quarterbacks are going to go for the end zone in that situation.
Yeah.
But if Allen suddenly develops this, you know, easy pass mindset, then I think there's going to be a lot of different views on the Bills this year, because you won't have these big, long, oh my God plays from Josh Allen. Well, I won't have as many.
They're going to be sprinkled in. I mean, you have the Keon Coleman pass
that was very, very good.
He has two rushing touchdowns, one of which he hurdles Buda Baker.
Well, no, I'm saying in terms of the rushing will never go away. Allen will always run, which
I think even when he loses the ability, I agree with you. That's a mindset.
I'm fine with. You know what? Do it until you can't. But I'm at the point where if he does more of those passes like the one to Ray Davis, I think we're going to see a lot less of him on like highlight reels, because you're not going to see these 40-yard bombs.
You're not going to see the Anthony Davis throw to Alec Pierce, you know, the 60-yard bomb we saw week one.
You might not see the passes to Keon Coleman like we saw on the sideline. I mean, those are the quote-unquote risky passes. And if that's what they're trying to get away from, I think that's going to be a big difference that people see in the Bills' offense this year, is you're no longer going to see, man, that was a crazy throw. Why did Allen do that?
I don't want them to get away from it fully.
No, I don't either. But I wonder if this first game is an indicator of how it's going to look.
I think it's just play smarter. Take risks when it's warranted. You know, don't throw the Hail Mary ball all the time, which is a big problem with Ken Dorsey's offense at this time last year, where it was just they were going deep constantly. No one was getting open. Allen had to make magic. I agree with Sal's take yesterday when he was on the show up on the Bulldog, and we'll hear from Sal coming up in about an hour. Allen is just Superman. He didn't need to be Superman, though, for the Bills to win against Arizona. He was making easy throws. It was guys like Khalil Shakir who his balance. That is something I'm upset I didn't talk about it more in the offseason, as someone that is a big fan of his and thinks he is in for a big year. His balance. He is so, so difficult for a guy that is not. I mean, he's not DK Metcalf, 6'3", 235 pounds. He's not that guy. You know, he's about 6 foot. You know, he's over 200 pounds. But if you just go to hit him, He's going to kind of move backwards a little bit and still be up and flying past
you.
Can
this be a Khalil Shakir show now?
I mean, it kind
of. We got to get Sal's approval, but it's got to be.
When I'm on, it sort of is.
The guy is so consistent. I mean, he's Mr. Consistent. It's everything that's thrown his way, he catches it and he holds on to it and he makes some sort of a play. I mean, look at the touchdown he scored. He looks like a breakdancer in the Olympics, flipping around on the ground, reaching for the goal line.
Yep.
And even on the first pass, or the first catch he made in the game, I think it was the first catch, he bounces off a defender and then just like kind of spins around him and keeps going up the field.
Yeah.
And creates a first down. It looked exactly like his play, I think it was against the Steelers last year in the playoffs.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking about.
But obviously in that play, it was for a touchdown compared to, you know, just for a first down in this game. But as soon as I saw that, I'm like, I'm watching a highlight reel from last year's playoff game. It looks exactly the same. He bounces off the defender the same way. He moves around them the same way. And it's just, it's great. And I think having a receiver like that, that's your Cole Beasley replacement. That's what you've been looking for the past 3 years.
For a few years, yeah.
And I think that if you can finally replace that,
yeah,
everything else will kind of fall into
place. And you saw it on Sunday where I think 10 guys caught passes.
Yes.
They were just spreading the ball around. Keon Coleman, very surprising to me. I do want to get Sal's thoughts on that as well. Because maybe I shouldn't have been surprised, but I was that. I mean, he led the way in terms of skill position players, only behind Dalton Kincaid in terms of the wide receivers, tight ends, and running backs. In terms of snap count, he led the team in targets. He led the team in receptions. He led the team in yards. And I was very impressed and pleasantly surprised that Coleman was being used like that right away. Game one, didn't have a ton of time in the preseason with Allen. He caught one pass from Allen in the preseason, game one, and that was it. And to immediately see them going right to him, immediately you see a 50-50 ball. I think he's only going to be used more as the season goes on. And now, again, this is week one, very much this is, you know, can fluctuate. But it does feel like, you know, by week six, seven, eight, we're sitting here very much changing the expectations for a Keon Coleman rookie year, where I think up to this point, I was somebody that was like, man, if he has 40, 45 catches and like six of them are touchdowns, I'm ecstatic.
Yeah. And that 50-50 ball he gets on the sideline, I mean, I remember watching that just going, what are we doing? Like, this is, it's just going to either go out of bounds or it's going to fall incomplete. And he goes up and makes magic with it.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as he catches it, you know he's going to come down with it, right? It was never going to be a play of like, oh, great catch, but you fell out of bounds.
It's why they drafted him. That's what
and
he does.
That right there, I think, kind of proves everything that they've been saying all offseason after they drafted him, which was he's a down-the-line specialist. He can get contested catches. And I was one that was like, yeah, I hope so.
I would really like
if that was what he does, and here it is. It's finally in a game.
Early in the game as well, maybe the thing I'm still leaving most impressed with him is the drawing the two penalties.
Yeah, that was great.
For a guy that his biggest issue so far has been separation, for him to scare a defender enough to have to draw to cause a penalty.
Yeah. And I think the one was almost close to being a double penalty because it was, I think it was the second one.
Mm-hmm.
He was getting held or something. It was a defensive pass interference call. But after the defender did what he did, Coleman kind of like threw some hands back at him.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, ooh.
Yeah.
All right. Take a break here. Yep. Let's simmer down. Like, you know, you got your flag. Like, don't ruin it now. You know, like, so it is still like a learning bit, but I do think that it's important that he was able to do that too right away because that is a smaller aspect of the game, but it is an important one.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you can create a lot from making a defender make a mistake, even when you're not getting the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's interesting because, like, that's so much different than any other sport. You don't really get that in a lot of other sports where it's, you know, you're celebrated for that. I mean, hockey's probably the closest one because, you know, you draw a penalty, you get a power play. Basketball, too, kind of, but it's a little more ticky-tack in basketball because of the fouls and everything. But I think with the performance he gave, it kind of negated what Xavier Worthy did for the Chiefs on Thursday night, right? I kind of forgot about what he did.
I think that's the thing is, you know, you look at the other rookie receivers around the NFL during, and again, this is only week one, so we don't want to make like any kind of like grandiose expectation or prediction or whatever, but like Marvin Harrison Jr., even the, you know, the deep ball late in the game that everyone's like, oh man, I mean, he's wide open. It's because the defender went towards the pump fake that ultimately Murray pulls back from. And then at that point, the pass rushes in his face. And really, Marvin Harrison Jr. was never, in a sense, technically open. It would have taken an otherworldly throw and timing for Murray to even get that ball off in time. that was much more of a play breakdown of they didn't necessarily bite on a pump fake. He was going to go to Greg. I believe it was Greg Dortch there, sees the defender coming in and pulls back. And then at that point, he's got to move around. He's got to do something.
He's already swarmed. He's already down.
Things are happening.
On his way down.
And he moves off of it. But he had a big drop. He only ends up with one catch. You go, of course, you brought up the Worthy game. Worthy has a play breakdown that causes him to have a wide open touchdown that still counts. Don't want to take it away from him. The end around that he had, the Mecole Hardman role that he did for years with Kansas City, he scores off that. We've joked, but it was great blocking, but also Worthy's speed was incredible. He brings a dimension to the Chiefs offense. But then it was like Brian Thomas Jr. He had a great game. Roma Dunze really didn't do much.
He's injured.
Now he's injured. He's week to week now as well. Mm-hmm. Brian Thomas Jr. I think had a good game.
Yep. Yeah, you just said that.
Yep. I'm blanking on one though. Who am I blanking on?
Troy Franklin didn't do anything, did he?
No.
Not in Denver. I mean, Bo Nix didn't even do anything.
Xavier Legette, I don't think, did anything. I'm blaming
Neighbors.
Malik Neighbors had a very good game. Yeah. There we go. He had a good game, but ultimately in a Giants offense that makes you wonder, why did you draft Malik Neighbors? Yeah. You don't have a quarterback.
And I think it's interesting how this wide receiver room was perceived in the draft compared to, and again, it is week one. We've only played one game. But it's kind of interesting you didn't see like one huge game. Right? Like, obviously, Worthy had two touchdowns.
A.D. Mitchell should have had one.
Oh. Forgot about
it. I'm not going to bring it up too much because everyone, I think, kind of knows if they ever were listening to the draft breakdown with myself, Derek Kramer, Nate Geary. I was not, of the Texas wide receivers, I was not an Xavier Worthy guy. I was Adonai Mitchell, like, all the way. That's who I wanted the Bills to draft, and I was quite broken up when it was nothing with Keon. I didn't really know much about Keon, but that one hurt me.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen Ian Harditz break down the Colts game.
Yeah.
Three better balls. He has like maybe three touchdowns and like is over like 150 yards.
Oh, yeah, I know. Because, I mean,
that broke my heart watching. Because I said it during the draft process and everything like that. I thought he had all of the ability to be an X, like game-breaking wide receiver, mm-hmm. especially if teams were able to kind of, because it sounds like it's more to deal with diabetes and him not being on top of his insulin. If he went to a team with a good culture, with a good foundation to keep him right and to get him on a structure, I think you could have an all-world receiver. And that's, oh man, I'm watching these and I'm like, oh, come on, man. Don't do this to me. I'm not saying I want him to fail, but I was like hoping. I'm like, if he's like a Michael Pittman, like a solid receiver, I'll be happy with that. He looked great. And his stat line did not show up, but he looked awesome.
He only has one catch for two yards.
Yeah.
But he was targeted five times, and he probably should have had three more catches.
Yeah, but they were bad passes.
Yeah.
Anthony Richardson is going to be a fun guy to keep an eye on this year.
He is much more of a Josh Allen comparison than Trey Lance ever was.
Yeah.
Not to, bounce all over the place here, but when you look at what Anthony Richardson can do and what he even did for the Colts mm-hmm. this past weekend and even in the three games last year, he's got the cannon of an arm. He kind of has the mobility. He just needs to kind of...
See, I think he has more mobility than Allen.
You think so?
I think Richardson is the most impressive athlete to play the quarterback position. Just coming out of college into the NFL, like if you can harness it, you have a truly dangerous weapon.
You have to figure out how to harness it.
Yeah.
And who's their offensive coordinator?
Well, no, their head coach is Shane Steichen.
Yeah, right.
That's more what I care about is their head coach is Steichen.
He was magic in Philly.
Yep. And even last year with Gardner Minshew, they almost made the playoffs. And they were keeping it close with Houston all afternoon. And ultimately, Richardson, I think, has under 50 completion percentage. So, I mean, they're not very efficient passing the ball. But that moonshot to Alec Pierce is... It's going to go down as top three throw from this year. And it was done in the 1 o'clock window on week one.
He only...
Incredible.
He completed nine passes for 212 yards.
Yeah, one of them was a 60-yard bomb. It was awesome. If you haven't seen the throw, number one, it's Tuesday after week one. I'm surprised.
I saw an edit that somebody made with like a sky cam.
Yeah.
Following the ball through the air.
It's unbelievable.
It's so good.
Real quick, though, to kind of wrap up our thoughts on week one, one other thing that we kind of touched on there, Dalton Kincaid, I was a little frustrated that he only had two targets mm-hmm. and only one catch. But now seeing people look back through the film, I mean, he was triple, at times quadruple covered, and it really opened up the rest of the offense. So that takes away some of the worry of like, yeah, man, I thought Kincaid was going to pop off this year.
Do you have the same thought about Curtis Samuel? Because he didn't do too much.
I'm still convinced that's due to injury. That,
oh,
like,
really?
He was able to play, but his turf toe, that is a lingering injury. I think he's good enough to play, but maybe not, you know, to be the main focal point or a major focal point of the offense. I'm not too worried about that. Now, if it's week 3, 4, 5, and we're still here, I'll start to get more worried. Same with Kincaid. I mean, if we get there and it's all of a sudden it's like, okay, they're still, like, only triple covering him, and, like, he's just not able to do anything and everyone else is, I'll be a little worried, but mainly for the opponents they're playing, because I'm like, are you guys not learning?
Curtis Samuel had 2 catches on 2 targets, 15 yards.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I think that was didn't have a rushing attempt, did he?
Nope, that was it. I mean, that's fine.
Yep.
I thought that he was going to be more of a focal point than he was, but you're right. I didn't think about the injury stuff.
Yeah.
I also just wonder if it was sometimes the Dalton Kincaid treatment of, like, you know, double, triple covered.
Yeah.
And, you know, what are you going to do in that situation? Throw to a different guy that's wide open, because if you have 3 guys on one, somebody's going to be open.
Yeah. And then my last point, this is something I'm a little worried about, and I kind of want to, and I am interested to see how it looks on Thursday, and then, you know, and then really the rest of the season. Joe Marino tweeted this out, and I'm glad that my eyes saw this, and he's tweeting about it just about 5-10 minutes ago. The Bills ran the ball on first down 75% of the time in week 1, second most in the NFL. First half, 72.7 first down run rate, 7 yards per carry. It's a 66.7 success rate. Second half, though, 76.5% first down run rate, 3 yards per carry. That is a 35.3% success rate. And that was something I noticed, and I'm glad the numbers are saying it was not just, you know, a failed eye test. They stuck to the run on first down way too long, and it did become predictable. I get you're playing a team in Arizona who had a near historically bad run defense last year, and it was working in the first half. So was throwing the ball, and it did seem like they weren't willing to be aggressive enough in passing the ball down the field on first down enough, especially when you look at Allen's, like, almost 80 completion percentage. You're having guys get wide open. Everyone is catching the ball. I don't think they had a single drop on Sunday. I would have liked them to be more aggressive on first down, not just that last drive where I think they had, like, 5-6 straight runs and ultimately don't go for it on 4th-and-3. Again, I'm okay with the explanation. I would rather my coach be definitive in what they thought rather than change it last minute to placate to not kicking the field goal of death. I'm fine with it. I don't have to agree with it, but I'm happy with that explanation. I just would have liked them to be more aggressive on first down, especially when ultimately you were doing what you wanted on offense. It was a bad turnover by Allen and a few bad penalties in the first half that stopped you. Arizona's defense wasn't doing anything to you. And then once the second half started, I mean, you saw, like, up until that kick return touchdown, it's that kick return touchdown, but they were up 11 kicking it off to him. I mean, the game was all of a sudden now double digits. And if you're Arizona, you're sitting there going, we were up 17-3 a minute ago. What happened? And so, you know, that was really my only complaints. It's week 1. You do have to take it with a grain of salt. Teams are very much rusty, to say the least.
Is it safe to say we could still take, like, the preseason pledge in week 1?
I don't know, man. I am now becoming somebody that I think your starters do need to play more.
Football
board in week 1 was rough.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, you know, it still feels, this week at least, felt like the preseason still.
Mm-hmm.
For every team, not just for the Bills. And even the Bills weren't even that bad to say it felt like the preseason, but just in terms of the entire NFL, it felt very preseason-esque because you had all those penalties in the first game on Thursday night. And then in Friday in Brazil, you had all sorts of crazy stuff going on where the players were falling all over the field.
Oh, the field conditions were atrocious.
The game itself was just wild.
Yep.
And then everything this weekend was, you know, the Steelers don't score an offensive touchdown and win a game.
That was beautiful.
The Bears.
That was beautiful.
Caleb Williams doesn't do anything.
Doesn't even throw for 100 yards.
No.
Beautiful.
And is the Bears curse real? Maybe. Is my fantasy team tanked? Probably.
Did I take too much Caleb Williams? Maybe.
Potentially. But I just think that it's kind of like preseason week 4, I think. And I hope the NFL gets away from that or finds a way to kind of, maybe this is just this year, but I was looking at some touchdown numbers, and over the past few years, past 5 years, I think it was, touchdowns were in, like, the 50s and 60s in week 1, and the past 2 years they were both under 40.
I think across the league. I think a lot of that, though, is due to defenses. They're taking away big plays. They're making you be methodical down the field.
And run
less sexy to watch.
Yeah.
But if a team is willing to do it, it can become very fun to watch because it's a lot of yak. It's a lot of just, you know, sure, you always get the phrase dip and dunk quarterbacks. You know they're not taking shots down the field. You're still somewhat able to. It's not as bad as it was like a year or two ago where it was just, too high safety. Don't you dare throw the ball more than 30 yards. It's going to be an interception. But teams are going to have to then start coming back in because you're giving up too much underneath. And then you'll start to see these quarterbacks like Allen, like Mahomes, they'll start taking moonshots again. They will get a player on their team that can stretch the field. The Bills have guys like Marquez Valdes-Scantling, who they did go to. It was a miss by Allen. Khalil Shakir, you've seen, has been able to go down the field.
Mm-hmm.
It's there. It's going to take some time for defenses to start start worrying about the underneath throws.
I got it here. So it's Steve Palazzolo, and he tweeted out yesterday before the Monday night game, 2019. There were 61 passing touchdowns in the first week.
Mm-hmm.
Then it went down to 52 in 2020, back up to 61 in 2021, back down to 51 in 2022. Last year, it was only 37.
Mm-hmm.
Before last night, total touchdowns in week one was 33. And how many touchdowns were scored last night?
Did Rodgers had...
Rodgers had two, right?
I'm going to find out now. I thought he had only one. It was the Alan Lazard one.
One, yeah.
And then Brock Purdy had none.
None?
Yeah, Brock Purdy had no passing touchdowns.
Nice. So 35. 35 touchdowns across the entire NFL. That's half of what we got 4 years ago.
Yeah.
So you can definitely see the shift happening, but
that's why. But I don't know. But that's why I haven't been worried that Bills maybe are going to run it a little bit more. They're not
exactly.
Throwing the ball
down
the field.
That's what I'm thinking too. But
they're. And I'm not saying they're trendsetters. They're doing the smart thing.
Mm-hmm.
They're not forcing a square peg into a round hole.
But at the same time,
just because
time,
they have Allen at quarterback.
In all of these numbers,
that was a big problem with Ken Dorsey last year.
Yeah, but at the same time, though, there is a team in all of these years that has had the most touchdowns, most passing touchdowns, and you kind of want to be on the higher end of that. Which, I mean, I don't think the Bills were this week, but. Week by week, maybe they are, maybe they aren't. It kind of depends on who you're playing.
Yeah.
I think that it's the first week of this transition year. I think it's okay that there were only two passing touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and I'm saying only. I mean, that's a good number. It's not like
it's fine. Yeah,
it's not
solid.
Like you're fighting tooth and nail for one. You had two relatively simple passing touchdowns. I mean, the one to Mac Hollins, he's wide open up a seam pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
And Khalil Shakir, I mean, that one was a little tougher to get, Shakir was just fantastic on it. So yep. I think that we'll see this number again. This is just week one stuff, but I think that if the Bills can stay just middle of the pack to higher end on these passing touchdowns, I think we're going to see a successful team.
Yeah. I agree. 803-0550 is the number to call if you want to give your thoughts on week one. Those are always welcome. But we're looking ahead to week two as the Bills do have a short week. They're taking on the Miami Dolphins in just 2 days, Thursday night football. We already know Taron Johnson, he is out with a forearm injury. Don't actually know how long he's going to be out. Sean McDermott, Bills head coach, would not give those details. Allen, though, full go even after that little bit of a scare with his left hand. What do you want to see from the Bills in week two? Do you want to kind of see this continued? Everyone eats, 10 guys catching the ball. And what about the defense as well? A good second half performance. First half, though, we didn't get to touch on it too much. Real concerning against Arizona. 803-0550 again, the number two call. Zach Jones and Josh Schmidt here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. And this is WGR.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever. And the worst part? Hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I'm glad we made those adjustments. Players look like they got into a rhythm in the second half, and some of that comes from just waiting for Kyler maybe to try and get out of the pocket instead of going to get him in an aggressive fashion. And, you know, look, it's first game, so there's a lot of unknowns, and you haven't been back in the saddle for some of those guys in a while, so I'm glad we played ourselves through it and coached ourselves through it. But we got to be better overall in terms of affecting the quarterback and also making sure we keep contained.
There was Buffalo Bills head coach Sean McDermott giving his thoughts on the week one 34-28 win over the Arizona Cardinals. And on that point, we tweeted out, on a short week, what do you need to see change from the Bills heading into week two? So let's get connected to the fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. McDermott brought up containment there. I think that was a big thing for me. Murray in the first half running the ball was really kind of able to do what he wanted. It was where a lot of their first downs were coming from. And Dominic has this to say, tackling. For the love of God, tackling. Trip the guy if you have to. Miami will house you if you miss a tackle. I take the 15-yard penalty any day.
I completely agree with it because I remember sitting there just almost wincing, being like, ah, there he goes.
You're white knuckling the couch because you're like, I saw it coming. Yeah. Everyone saw it coming and he's still gone.
Right. And I think a part of it is just kind of not knowing what to expect. I mean, Kyler Murray hasn't played an NFL game since.
No, I mean, he played 10 last year. Yeah, he played 10 games last year, last year?
Eight, I think.
Yeah.
But still, you haven't seen him in 4 years. Let's put it that way.
It feels like it, yeah.
It was.
Oh, for the Bills, yeah.
For the Bills, you haven't seen him in 4 years. So, and you don't know what he's going to be like coming off that injury. I know he played last year, but at the end of that season when he did play last year, it didn't feel like the Kyler Murray we had always seen, where it was, you know, he's all over the place and he's making these crazy throws. He's got the run ability. But it felt like they were just kind of, let's see what he does here. Let's give him a bit of a cushion and adapt to it.
And honestly, did in the second half.
Yeah, and honestly, that's one thing that I've always been happy with the Bills coaching staff for is they know how to adapt at halftime.
Yeah.
It has never been a problem to adapt at halftime.
Their biggest problems on defense continues to be injuries, which they're dealing with it now with Teron Johnson in their nickel corner spot. Cam Lewis filled in that role very, very well.
Right. Yeah.
But, I mean, that is something they're going to have to deal with now. We don't know how long Teron Johnson's out. I don't believe
it's out for this week.
He's officially out for this week. It is on a shorter week. That's not too surprising, especially when he was ruled out of the game on Sunday. Mm-hmm. I think it was more just like, please don't be a broken forearm. Like, don't be, you know, all right, he's done for the season kind of.
To be fair, you have 11 days off coming up.
You'll have a longer break before the Jacksonville game.
I hope that it's something that can heal within 2 weeks.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
You know, you have to see how Miami goes on Thursday, because if you look at Miami and Jacksonville compared to each other in terms of what would you need Teron Johnson for, obviously you need him more for Miami, but I mean, Jacksonville still also has kind of the ability to do what Miami can do.
Yeah.
In terms of get the ball downfield, have some wide receivers with speed. You're going to be facing old pal Gabe Davis. So you kind of know what you got there. But look at Brian Thomas Jr. You don't know what you have in that wide receiver. So I am interested to see what happens with Teron Johnson in terms of the next couple weeks here. But in terms of the tackling, to go back to that, It like I said, it just felt like they were kind of giving the Cardinals a cushion. And part of me likes the way they game planned, if you want to call it that, because it didn't seem like there was much of a game plan in the first half, and then all of a sudden
there was.
There it is.
I mean, because ultimately, you know, take away the special teams touchdown, the defense only gives up 20 points.
Right.
17 of those were scored in the first half.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, you give up a field goal in the second half as a defense, that's a very, very good adjustment. We talked about it. The Bills, before that special teams touchdown, were up 11. The game was completely flipped even before the first half was over with. The two-minute warning, I mean, they score a touchdown.
You score a touchdown, and then you double dip.
Which, man, I was thinking about it, though, as it was happening. I'm like, when is, like, the last time, though, they actually did double dip? Like, we all look for it, but, like, it felt like it wasn't happening as often as you'd like. Like, they would miss or you know, something would go on. Or they'd come out of half, and it was just like, oh, they don't look that good. Or you know, a field goal and a touchdown or what have you, or two field goals.
Mm-hmm.
Where that, it was just like, nope, two touchdowns, boom, boom, and they're up.
Yeah, and I do, like I said, I liked I like their whole ability to adjust, but you can't do that against everyone. And that's the part that scares me. And again, it's week one, but we've seen that for years now from the Bills coaching staff. They have the great ability to adjust on the fly.
Mm-hmm.
But will you be able to do that against Miami? Will you be able to do that against Kansas City?
I will tell you, though, against Miami, Tua Tagovailoa very often has a bad game against the Bills defense.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of
it,
too, though, is the Bills know exactly how to play him. Throw him off his timing.
Right.
If you throw off his timing, everything collapses. Mm-hmm. And I will say, too, real quick on their performance, they played Jacksonville, who's going to be the Bills' Week 3 opponent. For all the yards they put up, I mean, Tua led the league in passing yards for Week 1. Tyreek Hill had over 100 yards. Jaylen Waddle had over 100 yards. They put up 20 points.
Let's also remember they did have an 80-yard touchdown, so I think
That's right.
They had
even more to my point, it feels empty. You put up 20 points with all those yards.
Yeah, no.
And it took an Etienne fumble, basically, at the goal line for you to not lose.
Travis Etienne had the blunder of the game.
Yeah.
It was you fumble on the goal line, essentially, and...
And I don't look at Jacksonville as that threatening of a team.
No.
They still have drop issues.
Yeah.
Christian Kirk had a bad one.
And I look at that Miami, the 80-yard touchdown. You are a foot away from not even getting the chance to pull that play off.
Yeah.
Right? If Etienne just doesn't fumble the football, that touchdown doesn't happen. I don't see either of those teams as a full threat. Obviously, yes, Miami has their weapons and has their ability to perform, but I don't know. I don't see much.
By the way, the 80-yard touchdown was in the third quarter. The Etienne thing was in the fourth. It was already 17-17 at that time.
Oh.
Yeah, it was in the fourth quarter. The Hill thing was in the third quarter.
Huh. I don't know why I could have swore I saw an edit this morning where it was ETN on the bench, and then, all right, let's go to the play, and then Hill scoring the touchdown.
Yeah, no.
And then back to ETN.
Yeah, no. It was already wow. It was 17-17 at the time. That would have made it 24-17, and then it's a collapse after that.
What did I see?
But so I
saw a video on Twitter this morning of the two things mashed together. Maybe someone just did a pretty good edit.
They put up 20 points, 400 total yards. Third downs. Jacksonville was atrocious. 2 for 10.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And again, you brought it up. That's the Bills' next two opponents, and they both looked shaky. They both looked.
I didn't leave their games thinking
Miami had to win it on a field goal.
I mean, to be fair, this is going to be bad on me because eventually it's going to bite me. I'm not scared of Miami.
They're good. Give into it. Let's go.
But they're a team, even if I was like, let's say, you know, just for argument's sake, the first thing that comes to my mind is Cleveland, just because at the end of Jeremy and Joe, we listened back to that call, electric. But even if I was a Cleveland fan, I'd look at Miami. All of their stats feel incredibly empty.
Mm-hmm.
All of them. Tua led the league in passing yards. They finished second in the division and collapsed at the end of the season, only to lose immediately in the wild card.
Yeah.
And then this year, 400 total yards, 20 points, one of which came on an 80-yard touchdown, which could absolutely happen to the Bills.
One of which came on a field goal, or three of which, I should say.
But I don't know. And again, I think this is going to bite me at some point because eventually they're going to beat the Bills like in a serious moment.
Mm.
But I look at this, I'm like, it's a night game. They have never shown they can stop Josh Allen. And now the Bills, I think their biggest issue on offense, and we'll see if this continues, their biggest issue on offense the last 2 years is after Diggs, they had nobody. Gabe Davis was way too up and down
now
to be any sort of consistent weapon. Dalton Kincaid was a rookie last year. You saw it in the receivers they brought in free agency in Sherfield and Hardy. Not consistent enough. And then you even go back, you know, years prior. You know, Gabe Davis is a fourth-round rookie. Emmanuel Sanders is literally playing his last year of football. John Brown ages very quickly. They never really were able to have that consistent number two guy that could take that defenses had to take seriously. And you saw it on Sunday against Arizona. Yes, it is an incredibly small sample size. But with Kincaid is being triple to quadruple covered. Ray Davis, Khalil Shakir, open. All right, we'll go to Kincaid here. Keon Coleman, one-on-one, go to him. And it was just ba-boom, ba-boom, ba-boom. Everybody was playing. Everyone was doing their role well. Everyone was catching the ball. And it made the offense at times on Sunday feel very, very easy.
Honestly, this offense, I feel like we've said this before this offseason. I can't remember. Now that we're in the season, it's not the mm-hmm. offseason. Days are flying by. But I feel like this offense is just the inverse of what they had last year. You have so many guys for your secondary targets. Now you don't have your number one.
All right, so you were right. On the Etienne fumble. That was in the third quarter.
I'm blanking out.
I thought that it was that's my bad. It was Etienne fumble.
I got
literally the next play is the 80. I thought it was 17-17 at the time. It was actually 17-7. They were going to go up 24-7, put the game out of reach. Then it's that's my bad. Sorry about that.
I got really nervous. I was like, "What?"
Hobbs tweeted that in.
What did I see?
Yeah, Hobbs tweeted it in. Thank you so much. That's my bad.
No, you're good. I was nervous that I was going crazy.
Real quick, that is my one complaint of, you know, having to work the games. I don't get to watch the Sunday. I barely watch the Bills games. I have to rewatch them.
Mm-hmm.
I usually will record them and watch them that night. I just don't get to watch football, which is slightly frustrating. But that's one of the issues there is I was convinced that was in the fourth quarter towards the end of it. It was in the third quarter. It still would have put the game closer out of reach. I thought the game was tied, though. That's my bad on that. Sorry. Sorry about that.
It's fine.
It's fine.
Whatever. You're making me go crazy. But all right. Back to what I was saying, though. I just think that when you look at these two offenses, last year and this year, you're just looking at an inverse of the other. And I think it's hard to say, but I think that if this offense works out, what does that mean for the future? What does that mean for planning, right? I mean, if you have a team of guys firing on all cylinders and working it out every single game—
mm-hmm.
I mean, what do you do in the future?
I think it's going to be the thing is where all of a sudden you see, Dalton Kincaid goes from week one. He's again, it's one play, yes, but I'm going to make fun of it. Quadruple covered,
mm-hmm.
but by week four or five, it's like, guys, Khalil Shakir is like leading the league in receptions. We need to key up on him. And all of a sudden, Kincaid has the one-on-one matchups.
That's where it's hard because you're saying the league would switch.
Well, yeah, because they're going to see what's happening. And that's my thing. It was never Stephon Diggs. I think his efficiency dropped for the Bills, and sure, there may have been issues behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the Bills' biggest issue on offense last year was after him, there simply just was not another guy to go to.
Yeah, and I think that now that you have basically a team of guys to go to, I'm
excited.
I'm excited, and after the first game, I'm kind of inclined to think that that'll work better.
Yeah, absolutely. 803-0550 is the number to call. What do you need to see changed heading into week two, if anything? I mean, the second half performance by the Bills, you're hearing me and Josh talk about it, was very impressive. Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt, will read some of your tweets, take some of your calls after a quick timeout. We'll also hear from Sal Capaccio coming up at 11 o'clock. Bills practice at 12 today. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, and this is WGR.
People will come, Ray. They come to Iowa. Parises they can't even fathom. They turn up your driveway, not knowing for sure why they're doing it. They'll arrive at your door, as innocent as children, longing for the past. Of course, we won't mind if you look around, you'll say. It's only $20 per person. They'll pass over the money without even thinking about it. For it is money they have, and peace they like.
Ray, just sign the papers.
And they'll walk out to the bleachers. Sit in shirt sleeves on a perfect afternoon. They'll find they have reserved seats somewhere along one of the baselines. Where they sat when they were children and cheered their heroes. And they'll watch the game. And it'll be as if they dipped themselves in magic waters. The memories will be so thick, they'll have to brush them away from their faces.
There is the iconic voice of James Earl Jones that was in Field of Dreams. Passed away yesterday at the age of 93. I mean, just that, Josh, I tweeted yesterday, crushed me. Yeah. I mean, I was heartbroken at that one, too. Mm-hmm. Some celebrity deaths, you know, it's sad. You feel bad. But you don't know them on a personal level.
Felt like you knew James.
That one, a guy I obviously do not know. It was just like,
well, right.
I mean, man, he's the voice for a father of a generation with Mufasa in The Lion King.
Yep.
One of the best performances
voice
ever.
Voice of two fathers.
Well, and then the voice of the most iconic movie villain of all time with Darth Vader. I mean, and every time he did that voice, he was, I mean, for many people, that is the iconic thing of Star Wars, is Darth Vader, and specifically the voice.
I still remember figuring out who voiced Darth Vader. Like
finding out it's not the guy that actually like was in the suit.
Right, but I also know. No, but just because I remember well before I watched Star Wars, just, I mean, as a kid, you know, you're not going to watch Star Wars right away as like a 4 or 5 year old. Like when I was introduced around like 6 or 7.
Yeah.
But what I saw first was The Sandlot. And Mr. Myrtle.
Yes.
And then I figured out as I got older, Mr. Myrtle voiced Darth Vader.
Yep.
It was just kind of a weird, you know, mind-blowing moment of like, wow, that's the same guy. I never realized that, you know?
Oh, and so good.
And that scene there from the Field of Dreams, too. I mean, just listening to that took me back to when I went to Field of Dreams. And it's like, man.
So good.
And obviously, you know, the scene is theatrical and it's a movie and everything like that. But like when you listen to him and then when you're actually there, it feels like that.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
It's not just a line in a movie. Like that's how it feels when you're actually at Field of Dreams. It feels like that. And it's so cool. I once again recommend anyone that can go there, please check it out. But that,
news yesterday, James Earl Jones, 93 years old, passed away yesterday. Just an unbelievably iconic voice in Hollywood. One of the fixtures in Hollywood.
Yeah, Jeremy and Joe were saying, was he top three? Morgan Freeman, James Earl Jones.
Who's three?
I put James Earl Jones over Morgan Freeman, to be honest.
Ooh.
Right, he voiced
James
the most.
Earl Jones is above for me.
Yeah, but it is close.
It's close.
Will say.
I know
it's
Morgan
close.
Freeman's voice, but in terms of like voice acting roles,
right? Yeah.
He's
I think because he voiced Darth Vader, that kind of takes the cake.
Yeah. Mufasa's also like.
Well, you're a Disney.
I'm not even that. Lion King is my favorite movie. Ever.
Oh, okay.
That performance is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
So good.
Okay.
So
hey,
good. He will be missed.
No,
and if they use AI to bring his voice back. Hellfire is going to rain from my Twitter account. I am going to be so furious. I'm so serious. let it lie, let the performances be there.
Are you saying AI for Darth Vader or
anything for his voice? I will lose my mind. I hate it. It's gross. Same with the de-aging technology to put the actor. Stop. Just recast the roles. It's fine. We'll get over it if you have to do it. 803-0550, the number to call. David Butch, we'll get to your calls after a quick timeout. But first, at the top of the hour, we will hear from our own Sal Capaccio. Bills practice at noon today. They are on a short week as they get ready to take on the Miami Dolphins down in Miami for Thursday Night Football. This is the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. What,
you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at MyBob's.com to play now.